Like, that sounds like a little bit impossible for me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that. Like, let me give you a couple of examples. Some things that Jesus says. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive 70 times 7 times, which is a lot. I don't do math. Maybe there are math people here. It's a lot of forgiving. Or how about this one? Do not worry. Yeah. Anybody like read that and think, this sounds good. I don't know how to do it. I feel like that is just beyond my ability, which I think Jesus does on purpose. I think that he leads us into an in over our heads type of life with him, because that means that we need him, right? It means we have to ask him for help, and this is the kind of relationship that he wants with us. So tonight, we're going to be talking about one of those passages, and maybe the first time you hear it, you think, nope, I don't think that I can do that. But good news, Jesus will help us with it. We are going to be in one verse, and it's the first, bless you, all the blessings, it's okay. It is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. And if you could throw up that first slide for me. This is the entire verse in the original Greek. It's two words. And go ahead and go to the next one because I need my cheat sheet. Yeah, hiero pantote. I'm probably saying that wrong. But it means rejoice or be rejoicing at all times, always, and ever. We see this most often translated in our versions as be joyful always. Anybody have the initial reaction of, yeah, I don't do that. I have non-joyful moments. I joke a lot with my friends. They don't think it's funny. It's funny to me. But mourning Mallory is a scary creature. I always say it's not personal, but I'm non-verbal. Unless you're handing me coffee, I want nothing to do with you. That is me every day before 10 a.m. It is not always this. So what on earth is this instruction? This comes in a letter from Paul to one of the early churches. And and it's this simple. And he says it again to another church in Philippi. So you know that he's not messing around. He's not stuttering here. He's saying, be joyful always. So why is it so hard for us? Why do we have that immediate reaction of, I don't know if I can do that? Why is it hard to be joyful always? Maybe you're thinking, well, Mallory, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes, you know, I just am struggling and my circumstances are difficult and there aren't things that naturally arise that make me feel like rejoicing all the time. And I think that Paul would have understood that. Okay, so in the first century church, there was a lot of persecution. There were people being martyred, people being killed for profession of their faith in Christ. Paul himself was imprisoned for preaching Jesus, and he prayed to God and sang songs of praise through the night, so much so that in the morning, when God miraculously delivered him from jail, that he ministered to the jailer, and the jailer and his household became believers in Christ because of the testimony of joy and hope coming from this person in crazy circumstances. So the trick is that we can think sometimes that our joy is dependent on our circumstances. So I could get on a soapbox. I'm going to try really hard not to do that. I think that comes from a lot of places, right? We live in a culture that says you need more to be happy, right? It's a capitalist culture that we're living in, people. They want to sell us things. So they're always saying you need something else to have fulfillment in life. And I think maybe it's just our human tendency. We're always kind of longing for more, and it's hard for us to be satisfied and be content. In Paul, he doesn't lighten up on us in the next couple of sentences. Right after this one, he says, pray continually, so be praying all the time, and give thanks in all circumstances. Again, so we see this like kind of continual call. And also the Apostle James in his letter, some of you might be familiar with this passage. How are we to respond when we face trial of many kinds? Anybody know that verse? When you face trials of many kinds. James says, consider it pure joy. What? What? But he explains in that we can consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because those things always lead us back to our hope, and our hope does not disappoint us. So the question about joy really comes down to, where is our hope? And I think we probably have some people here who have been in Sunday school for a while, and you can give me the Sunday school answer, right? And it is the true answer. Of our hope as a people is in Jesus Christ. And so let's look a little bit about what Jesus has done for us. Just to zoom out our perspective a little bit, Jesus has given his life for you, risen from the dead for you, forgiven, reconciled, given you his righteousness, secured heaven for you now. We talk a lot about how it's not just a thing in the future, it's happening now. Given you a spirit of power, love, sound mind, called you friend, freed you from condemnation, given you the Holy Spirit, made you a channel of his life to others, chosen and appointed you to bear fruit, seated you with him in the heavenly realm. And this is just the short list, right? There are so many things that are part of our reality because of Jesus Christ. And so when we hear Paul say, be joyful always, we're not going to get there by looking around at our circumstances to make us happy. We're going to get there if we can zoom out our perspective a little bit and remember this reality that's true for us and this hope that we have in Jesus and everything that he's done for us. This last one is something that Jesus has reminded me of before in prayer, this idea of being seated with him in the heavenly realm. So occasionally I get stressed out. I'm sure you guys know nothing about that. And I just start thinking about, like, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done or meet everybody's expectations or whatever the stressor is. And one time I was praying and I was like, man, like, why am I so stressed out? And I really felt like God reminded me of this verse. And he said, you forget where you're sitting. You know? Like, yes, you're in these circumstances, but you're also sitting with me in the heavenly realms at the right hand of the Father. That is somehow miraculously also true. So just zoom out, remember that perspective for a minute, and everything that you have, all the salvation and abundant life you have in Christ, and let that fuel you. So this is very much an in over our head verse, and we get to ask Jesus for help, and he helps us, which is awesome, right? Praise God. But when we talk about joyful living, there's some aspect to that that's a choice too, right? Like we get to kind of choose into this perspective and this joyful perspective in life. So I've done a couple of different international experiences where I've gone to just kind of serve and experience the kingdom in different places. And one of them in particular, I was having maybe like the worst day. My bag was lost, and we were backpacking, and I was in another country. So it's like everything I owned was, like, missing. I had, like, the clothes on my body, and that was it. And we had to get on this bus with, like, the tiniest little seats next to people who didn't speak the same language to me, and it was, like, a really bumpy bus, and we were on it for, like, hours. And I was pretty uncomfortable, and I hadn't slept, and that's not the recipe for joy, right? Like, you get me tired and hungry. Like, that's a tough recipe for joy for me. And then just when I thought, I don't think that I can get any more uncomfortable, it starts raining, and the bus leaks. This, like, black, dirty rainwater only on my head. Everybody else is dry. And I literally was like, I can't take any more. And we'd had this motto as part of our mission trip that was based on this idea. And so one of the leaders came up for me, and he said, I'm not kidding. Choose joy. And I was like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, it's just too much for me. You know, but what he was getting at was a true reality. Like, I can sit there and feel really bad for myself, and I can choose despair, I can choose anxiety, I can choose bitterness in situations, or I can say, I have the most miraculous opportunity right now. I'm seeing a country I've never seen before, I'm around people, I'm seeing the kingdom, I am living a life with Jesus Christ today, and he gives me all of these things, and I can live into that, and I can step into this thing that Jesus and the Apostle Paul calls us to. And so tonight is about joy. It's about remembering Jesus and what he offers us and what he's doing in our lives and in our community and celebrating that together and kind of zooming out and stepping back into this perspective. So let me pray a blessing over us, and then we'll hear some testimonies from our friends. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being a faithful God who loves us and meets us where we are. And I pray that for every person here tonight, that you could just meet us where we are with what we need. And we thank you that we can ask you for help and you help us. And we thank you that you offer us a life of being joyful always, and that we can do that through the hope that we have in you. And so I pray, especially in these next couple weeks, the last weeks of the semester, as we have our to-do lists and our things stressing us out and maybe questions we need answered, and that you would help us remember the big picture and the hope that we have in you, and that that would fuel our joy. And again, we just ask you for help. We thank you that you're a present God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have several friends, I think, who are excited to share with us tonight. I have asked specifically our seniors graduating in December, so we will have an opportunity for other seniors next semester to share. But if you're graduating in December, or you're kind of the equivalent, so maybe you're student teaching, but you're student teaching far away for the whole time, and you won't be here necessarily on Thursday nights, feel free to come share tonight as well. So, who wants to go first? Derek! Everybody give Derek a hand. Welcome, Derek.
Okay. So, I scared Mallory because I was like, if I have 15 minutes, I could talk for 15 minutes. And I would talk for 15 minutes, but I'm not going to. I have a timer set on my phone. So that's going to beep at 7. She said I could have 4, but I'm taking 3 extra. I have a couple notes. I also, Leah, if I go too long, I want you to go all out Oscars on me. Start playing the music. Hannah, escort me off the stage. That's what we're going to do today, okay, guys? Okay. Yeah, I am, actually. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Derek Stallard. I'm a senior this year. I'm really excited to do this. I've loved The Well since my freshman year. I've loved Senior Thursday since my freshman year. I remember sitting down in the seats, kind of like listening to different people. And so my biggest goal is that for one of you freshmen to be like, oh, remember that old person who said something? That rang a note. So if that does, like, woo. Okay. So I also wrote this out, and I have it structured. So this is my intro. I already started with the escorting the stage thing. Now we're going to move on to my freshman year. I'm going to talk about a couple different things that the Lord has taught me through the years, and hopefully these different things resonate with you. And so I want to start off by saying, when I first came to Ashland, I was that person that truly wanted to, like, have that perfect life. I didn't wear sweatpants the whole first 2 years of college. I literally just had everything I thought was together. I was like, I'm going to be part of the Well. I'm going to go on a mission trip, and it's going to be great. And it was pretty great. I made some amazing friends. Actually, some of them are still in this room, which is amazing. Lord really blessed me. But when I was on that mission trip, he opened my eyes to new perspectives. So this could be something different. When I heard of Christianity at first, I mean, I was raised in a Christian home, but like, I just thought that was just a box you checked off. I didn't realize the amount of Holy Spirit and relationship that goes into it. And so when you think you know everything about the Lord, he has a funny way of telling you you don't really know everything about him, and he just kind of wipes it all clean, and he says, you got a lot more to learn. So that was just really awesome, and I got to see how other people worshiped him. Like, I remember the first Well I went to, Sarah Toby was painting. Like, I don't know how to paint very well. She was my painting teacher in high school, but, you know, just like wild things like that. And so the Lord uses our talents in so many different ways. Sophomore year. This is a year when I was like, this is great. I have so many wonderful friends. Like, life is wonderful. I love my classes. I have a great job. Like, this is so awesome. Like, everything I was praying for and asking for, the Lord was saying yes. Until he said no. Yeah, next page. So I was just, like, happy, and it was great. But then he said no, and I was, like, distraught. I was like, Lord, why would you do this to me? Like, I thought that you wanted me to take all these leadership roles. I thought this was your plan for me. Like, I remember sitting in, like, a CC's Pizza just being so upset about this. And, you know, I really didn't realize that that was one of the best things the Lord could have done for me, was telling me no and answering my prayers in a way that I wasn't expecting. Because when I looked back on that sophomore year, I wouldn't have been, I mean, I still probably would have been here, but, like, I wouldn't have had the friends that I've made by not getting that job. I wouldn't have had the experiences that I had. And so when the Lord tells you no, say thank you, and then look back on it a little bit later. Junior year. Let's see where I'm at, too. Oh, well, we're just going to wait for it to beep if it happens. Junior year was about the Lord teaching me to love like him and kind of just going out to places where you might not find Jesus. I really pushed myself junior year. It was a little bit different. I ended up, first off, I want to say that AU is a wonderful place. We have beautiful and wonderful places like The Well and FCA and Newman where you have pockets of Christians and people who believe things just like you. But then it also has a lot of wonderful people who don't believe in the Lord and who are just as wonderful. And so junior year really taught me to, like, go and make friends with those people. Like, they have so much to offer. And you know what's amazing, too? You can see Jesus within those people, and they're going to teach you a lot about him, and you're going to teach him a lot about them. Or wait, you're going to teach them a lot about him, and him a lot about, I don't know. I think you guys know what I'm saying, though.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. But, like, you'll just see the Lord in so many different ways, and you're going to be planting those seeds to people, and you're going to be showing them Jesus. You know, next page. Jesus went out with the prostitutes and collectors, and, you know, if we just stay in our cozy little home and just kind of decide we're just going to stay with our cliques, you're not going to do anything for the Lord other than just build your own relationship. And are you really going to be learning everything? Probably not, because you're just learning what each other, what the people around you have learned. So I really just encourage you to go out and meet other people. So let's say you're not Greek. Make some friends with Greek people. Some of my dearest friends are in Greek life, and I'm not. If you aren't an athlete, go meet an athlete. Become friends with them. Share the passion. Learn why they are so passionate about what they're passionate about, and then show them what you're passionate about. If you aren't in Greek life, let's say you're in The Well, go make friends with one of those people I just mentioned. I mean, there's just so many wonderful people to know on this campus, and they can truly bless you, and we can all learn from each other. And so that brings me to senior year. I know, we're here. So I came into senior year knowing that I had to graduate in December. I really like college. I really do, everybody. Like, I don't want to leave, but it just makes sense, too, because I don't have any other classes to take. Like, truly, my parents were kind of like, you need to go. And I was like, okay. So I kind of just had to give it over to the Lord. Like, as silly as that sounded, like, I was doing, like, Twitter polls and other things like that. I was like, should I graduate in December? Like, that's, like, silly things. But, like, I really just had to give it over to the Lord. And once I did, it was a feeling within me that I never had felt before. It was the Holy Spirit moving within me that I didn't feel when I was in high school. I didn't feel some of those early years. It's a change in your heart. I also was nervous going into senior year because since I graduated early, I couldn't do Res Life anymore. And, like, Res Life's a really tight-knit community of, like, people. And I was like, I'm not going to have, like, a tight-knit group of friends. And it was so amazing how the Lord worked out. And he didn't give me just one, but he gave me two new friend groups to kind of just be at my side whenever I needed them. And honestly, it was such a God thing how some of those friend groups kind of just, like, appeared my senior year, my last semester. One more thing that he did, I don't know how I did all my homework this semester. Like, I know you all probably feel that, but, like, truly, I don't know how I did my homework this semester. Like, I was taking two master's classes, and I wouldn't, oh, shoot. Okay, I'm wrapping up. But honestly, I was choosing people over my homework, and it always worked out. I don't know how I'd crank out 8-page papers 5 hours before my MBA class, but I did every week. And so, honestly, I look back and I'm like, that's the Lord, because there's no reason for that to happen. And so I'm leaving you today with 4 challenges. The first challenge is from freshman year. Look for some new perspectives and try to learn more about people. Honestly, like, if you have a friend who prayer journals, maybe try prayer journaling. That's what I did this semester, and it's been so amazing. Okay, sophomore year. Reflect on your rejection. In the moment, you might not realize why the Lord has the plan for you. You might think that your plan is the same thing as his plan, but when you look back on it, you see how much clearer it is that his plan was way better than yours. Junior year, love like Jesus. Make a few new friends. Honestly, if you make some new friends, let me know by May and we'll all hang out. It'll be great. It'll be rad. It'll be wonderful. Seriously, make some new friends. Just go out and love people. That's all you need to do. And then senior year, just trust in the Lord. God is good. He will provide. And that is all.
Okay, grab one of these gifts over here. Thank you, Tarek. That was awesome. Just to say to anyone else who wants to share tonight, if you're not potentially that well thought out and meticulous about it, that's okay. We'll just share anything from your heart. It's fine, too. Who's next? Sam. I got a well mug up here with your name on it. I got a well mug up here with your name on it.
Is it only if I do this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so like Derek, I remember, Hannah, stop videotaping me. I remember this my freshman year, and I was the opposite of Derek. I dreaded this moment all 4 years, but here I am. So my name's Samantha Johnson. I'm just going to kind of go through my 4 years here at Ashland with you. So as a freshman, I came, and I got involved in the well because my sister was a junior, so she kind of encouraged me to come. Freshman year, I also got involved in freshman small group, and I was able to really create a community there with those girls. Sophomore year, I continued to get more involved in the well. I went through Eli and continued to meet more people and start to find my place here at Ashland. Sophomore year, I also got baptized here at the well, which was a huge step for me and was completely out of my comfort zone. Junior year, I again continued to get a little bit more involved. I joined well leadership and also began to get involved as the college ministry intern at Park Street. So I'm saying all this to say that the people here at the well, the university, and the community care about us. All these things happened to me while I was a student because of the people I was surrounded with. There are so many great opportunities that this place has to offer to help you grow as a person outside of these Thursday night services. So the people in the room right now are the people that will push you out of your comfort zone and help you grow into a new person. They're going to be the people who keep you accountable on your faith walk, so let them invest in you and don't be afraid to invest back. Thank you, Sam. Other seniors, other December grads, come on up, Olivia. So I'm really excited. Olivia's got another semester, but we sat down and talked, and she's got the most powerful story of what God's been doing in her life, so I asked her to share tonight.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Olivia. I'm obviously a senior here, but I'm not graduating until May. Thank you, Lord. I've got some more time, and I'm an intervention specialist major here. Tonight, I'm going to talk about just my journey with God, and it really reflects on a couple weeks ago, we had a sermon about reconciliation and reconciling, and so you can't truly worship. What stood out to me was you can't truly worship the Lord unless you reconcile and face your brokenness, and that's really what God has done in the last year and a half. I've grown a lot. If you had told me a year ago I'd be standing up in front of all of you and talking, I probably would have passed out just right there. Because the truth is, I've always been one that worships, but very quietly. I listen to people's stories. I pray with people, but I don't ask for someone to pray for me because I'm just really shy and I'm nervous up here. But I'm going to share a pretty deep part of my story. So my relationship with God has not been perfect. Actually, last year, for quite some time, my relationship with God was non-existent because I was upset with him for a part of my past that I believed was my whole story and not just a part of it. And so God decided that I was strong enough to face this part of my past, face this brokenness. And I was like, God, what are you talking about? Like, why can't I continue doing what I've been doing for all this time, where out of sight, out of mind? Like, you don't see it, you don't think of it, it didn't happen, right? Well, God was like, that's not how life works. You got to face your brokenness, and you'll become a stronger person, and you'll heal, and you'll move on. And I was like, okay, no, I'll do this on my own. I don't need you to make me face something that I don't want to face. I don't need to do it. I'm fine. Like, I'm good. And so I completely abandoned God. I stopped coming to the well, which I had been coming since freshman year. And I stopped going to church. I stopped praying. I stopped doing everything. Like, God kept trying to make his way through. And I was like, no, leave me alone. You're making me do something I don't want to do. I don't want to face this brokenness. And God was like, you're going to face it. And even though I abandoned him, he never abandoned me. He loved me throughout the entire time, and he loves me the same as much as he did back then when I was just so angry and upset. And the best part of it is that, yeah, I have my good days and I have my bad days. Like, I'm not perfect. But I realized that it was really lonely without God, and I could not fix my brokenness without him. I just couldn't do it. And so finally, a year ago, I decided, you know, God, I want you back in my life. I want you to help me heal, to help me love you more than I could ever love you. And the truth is that it's true. You can't have a relationship with God fully with your brokenness, because for me personally, I was holding on to anger for such a long time about a part of my past. Something that made me broken, and I was holding on to it, and I couldn't open my heart fully to Jesus because I didn't understand why that was a part of my past. I didn't understand it. And finally, now I can say I understand that I don't understand why it happened, but I understand that it's not my whole story. It's just a part of it, and it makes me stronger, and it makes me, and God has opened that door to me and made me heal and made me realize. So the reason I'm sharing this story tonight is not to bum you guys all out, but to share to you that you're not going to understand God's plan. You're just not. But he understands it. And even when your days are hard, you lean on him. You don't turn away. And when your days are good, you rejoice in him. And from this day forward, I promise that I will never abandon God again. I promise that I will rejoice in him on the good days, and on the hard days, I'll lean on him and remember that every little thing is just a part of your story. And your story is not over, and God has a plan, and you may not understand it, and you may not want to understand it, but there's a reason for everything. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Such a powerful testimony. Danielle, come on up. Also, congratulations on your show in Coburn Art Gallery. Everybody go see it.
Hi, so I'm Danielle. I'm a graduating senior in December, and this is my senior testimony. So before I came to college, I was your normal, average Christian girl who lived in youth group. That was my identity. That was who I was. I marked off all the boxes. I knew all the sins not to do. I knew the sins that were okay, that no one would see, that would be hidden. So I already had planned when I came to Ashland that I would be involved in Christian ministry. I looked at the well. I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, that's something I can see myself being a part of. And so I came here, and it was something that completely changed everything. It wasn't what I expected. It wasn't the safe Christian place that I could stay and just pretend I was growing. I had to actually grow and do something. So I started out in freshman women's small group, where I met a lot of really great people. Most importantly, I met, my mentor. And she looked at me and wanted to invest in me and wanted to love me. And that was something that I hadn't experienced before. I had done Christianity in a community, but in a community where I could just be individualized and be myself and not connect with other people, if that makes sense. So after being with her and having someone like just love me, I was challenged to go so much deeper in my faith. I remember one sermon, so I was sitting somewhere over here at Five Stones, and Dave Sherwood gave a message, and his message was about our identity in Christ as his children. And he put up one point, and he was just like, you are loved by God because you are his son or daughter, period. And that rocked my world. Like, I knew in my head that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what I knew, like, that's what I recited in Sunday school, but I never in my heart was like, he loves me, I don't have to do anything for it. He loves me just because I'm me. He loves me when I get up in the morning and I sin, and he loves me when I go to bed and I sin. He loves me when I'm with him and when I'm not with him. He just loves me because I'm his kid. And my mom was there with me during that sermon, and she also wrote on the paper, because I wrote, Jesus loves me because I am his daughter. And she wrote underneath it, my mom loves me because I'm her daughter. And that was something that really made a connection for me, that my whole life I had looked at my parents and thought they would only love me if I did X, Y, and Z. And I also looked at God and looked at him and said, he only loves me if I do X, Y, and Z. And that's not true. Later on, my junior year, I went on the mystery mission trip. And during that trip, again, God was like, I'm not who you thought I was. You thought I was this judge who was just waiting to smack you down when you didn't do X, Y, and Z. Sarah Toby was praying as we were about to leave. And that week, I was able to pray over other girls in our group and be like, yeah, your dad just wants you to run to him. But that whole week, I didn't realize that I couldn't believe that for myself. So she was praying, and she was just like, Abba, Father, we thank you for this week. And I just melted because I could just feel God's presence telling me, like, Danielle, you deserve to call me dad. So I guess my message is, don't be afraid of when God wants to draw you closer and break down perspectives that you've already had of him. Whether that's your relationship with your father or your mother or your parents or how you think other people perceive you, he's not a judge ready to smack you down. He loves you and he looks at you and he says, I just want you to come home and I want to give you all of these great things. He's a good, good father. He's faithful. And when it doesn't make sense, he's still there. And if it doesn't make sense, it probably makes sense in heaven. So, yeah, just don't be afraid to take those next steps. And don't be afraid for your father to tell you who he is and show you who he is and draw you closer to him. Thank you.
There's a little gift from Noelle here for you.
Thank you for sharing. God is really, really good. Any other senior testimonies? The floor is open here for another minute. Last call. Okay, I agree that senior testimony nights is one of my favorite things. Again, we will do it again next semester. And so if you're a senior, be praying and thinking about it now, about what you can share with our community, words of wisdom and testimonies to God's goodness in your life. We practice baptisms here at the Well. It is one of my absolute favorite things. It is a marker of a point in time when someone says, at this point, I am living life with God. I understand that Jesus is my saving Lord, and I want to live life with him. And then we get to all celebrate and be like, yes, we love that. We are with you. We will support you. We talk about when you're baptized into a community. And so that means that this is something we all get to celebrate and commit to each other, that we will encourage each other and spur one another on in life with God. And so I'm really excited to celebrate that tonight. Another thing that baptism symbolizes, it's really an outward demonstration of an inward experience with God. But when you go into the water, that symbolizes dying with Christ. And when you come out of the water, you are raised to new life in him. And it really is an experience of spiritual resurrection, which is such a miraculous thing. So it's such a privilege for us to celebrate together. We baptize with trine immersion. So we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we will be baptizing our dear friend Kaylee Cooney. Woo! So as we prepare and get ready for baptism, we're going to show a testimony video from her so you can hear about what God's been doing in her life.
So my name's Kaylee Cooney. I'm a nursing major at Ashland University. I'm a senior, and I'm actually graduating in December. So I started coming to the well my freshman year. One of my friends actually encouraged me to come, and I was in a really bad place in life with my family. I didn't really know why these things were happening, and I just didn't understand it. And my friend Allison was like, come to the well. Like, it'll really help you. And so I went, and it was perfect. Like, I felt so much love. I found family again. I knew that someone was loved me, and I got to meet so many people around me that brought love and joy to my life. He's doing these things to, like, make you stronger and make you realize who you are. And it was just really hard for me to see, like, the things my family was going through and, like, why this was happening. And I was, like, trying to learn how to let God in. And then during my, like, sophomore, junior year, I was like, you know, this isn't right. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, my family's still a mess. Like, I've been asking God for help. Like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. So I kind of, like, got away from it, and some more things started happening, and I was like, I just got, like, pulled back, and I was like, maybe I should be doing this. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be around, and this is the right thing for me. So I really started coming back, and I started trying to go to church outside of the well, and I started reading scripture and just really trying to find my place with him. And a couple weeks ago, I really got the feel that I was needed to get baptized. I've been thinking about it for a long time, probably like 4 or 5 years, and I'm getting ready to graduate, and something just told me, like, before you go out in the real world, like, this is something you need to do. And God wants you to do this, and he's ready for it, and you're ready for it, and to just do. So tonight I'm getting baptized at the well, and I'm really excited to begin this journey with God and with graduating, and I'm excited that you're all here.
So this is a really celebratory moment, and I know we have pews and stuff, but go ahead and, like, stand up so that we can celebrate with Kaylee. And as we finish, yeah, feel free to come forward, take pictures. She loves this. So, yes, and when she comes up out of the water, let's all cheer and celebrate with her everything that God's done in her life. Can you hold this out and not drop it? Kaylee, have you received Jesus as your saving Lord, and do you intend to follow him in all things?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's step right down here. We're going to take a moment and pray for Kaylee. If you want to come up and put your hands on her and bless her,
You are welcome to do that. Yeah, let's pray. God, thank you for Kaylee, and I thank you for the journey that you've been on with her, and that you have kept pursuing her and kept pursuing her and coming after her with your love. And I pray, and I thank you for her heart that has turned to you and said, yes, okay, God, I receive your love. I want to do life with you. And we sealed that in the power of the Holy Spirit, that today marks a day of just constant ongoing relationship with you. We commit to her as her friends and her community to always be encouraging her, praying for her, lifting her up. And we pray for the next season, that as she has a new beginning, that she knows that at all times you are with her. You are with her. And you are close to her. And you will never leave her, and that you are always a faithful and good God. We bless her in Jesus' name, and we celebrate with her, and we thank you, and we praise you, Jesus Christ, for being our Savior and our Lord. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well done, everybody. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. And we, if you can't tell, we are all about being a blessing and an encouragement to one another here at the Well. So sometimes I feel a little bit like Oprah with the, like, you get a blessing. You get a blessing. Everybody gets a blessing. And in that... with that heart and with that posture, we're going to have people available for prayer tonight. So if there is something that you would like prayer for, or if you'd just like to receive a word of encouragement from God about where you are in life, we would love to pray with you. And we'll have some people kind of walking around praying about if they have a word of encouragement for you. So you might have somebody come up to you and say, hey, can I pray for you? Know that you can. If you're not feeling it, you can be like, thank you, but no thank you. But if you want them to pray for you, they're happy to do so. So let me pray for us, and we'll enter into a time of celebratory worship. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had tonight to be witnesses to your presence in our midst. Thank you for the testimonies from our friends that say, God has been good, and he's taught me. And it hasn't always been easy, but it has always been good. And we thank you for Kaylee, and we thank you for what you've been doing in her life and her obedience. And we celebrate with her the new life that you've given us in Christ. And we turn to you in this time and offer you our praise and worship.